It is good to have each of you out. I invite you to take your Bibles as we study along with God's Word. We have been doing a series on elders, and I spent quite a bit of time talking about the nature of the job itself and talking about what elders are to do, because for the most part, we end up with the wrong ideas, and then we have the wrong expectations out of the men who are serving as elders, simply because we're not looking at what the job is correctly. Now, there is an office called the eldership, and there are some here who perhaps will be able to fill that need. Not everyone can fill it, nor will everyone want to do so. And that's not a bad thing. You know, we sometimes think, well, you know, when you're working in a company, everybody wants to be the manager. Well, not necessarily, because there's a lot of headaches that come along with that particular job. There's a lot of responsibilities. And it's true for all the other duties that are available to us. Not every job is something everybody desires. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, Paul makes this statement, and we got to keep this in mind. And we're going to start with verse 12. It says, "For even as the body is one, and yet has many members, and all the members are of the body, though they are many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and we were all made to drink of one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but as many. If the foot says, because I am not a hand, I am not a part of the body, it is not for this reason any less a part of the body. And if the ear says, because I am not an eye, I am not a part of the body, it is not for this reason any less a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing be? If the whole were hearing, where would the sense of smell be? But now God has placed the members, each one of them, in the body, just as he desired. If they were all one member, where would the body be? But now there are many members, but one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. Or again, the head to the feet, I have no need of you. On the contrary, it is much truer that the members of the body, which seem to be weaker, are necessary. And those members of the body, which we deem less honorable, on these we bestow more abundant honor, and our less presentable members become much more presentable. Whereas our more presentable members have no need of it. But God has so composed the body, giving more abundant honor to the members which lacked, so that there be no divisions in the body, that the members may have the same care for one another. And if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. If one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it." We have to understand that we need as a congregation elders. But not everyone is suited for that job. Not everybody wants that job. It doesn't mean anybody else is less because someone is selected as an elder. Everyone is necessary. Every single member here has a role to fill, has things that can they contribute to the congregation to help it grow. Elders is just one of those duties that help in that aspect of it. And every congregation needs them desperately. And with many things, we oftentimes don't recognize the need until we find out we actually have it. Sometimes when we lose it, then we realize how much badly we needed that particular item. But exactly what is an elder? In Acts chapter 20, I'm going to start with verse 17. "For Miletus he sent," as Paul, "to Ephesus and called to him the elders of the church. And when they had come to him, he said to them, 'You yourselves know from the first day that I set foot in Asia, how I was with you the whole time, serving the Lord with all humility and with tears and with trials, which came upon me through the plots of the Jews. And how I did not shrink from declaring to you anything that was profitable and teaching you publicly from house to house, solemnly testifying to both Jews and Greeks of repentance towards God and faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. Now behold, bound by the Spirit, I'm on my way to Jerusalem, not knowing what will happen to me there, except that the Holy Spirit solemnly testifies to me in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions await me. But I do not consider my life of any account as dear to myself, so that I may finish my course and the ministry which I received from the Lord Jesus, to testify solemnly of the gospel of the grace of God. Now behold, I know that all of you among whom I went about preaching the kingdom will no longer see my face. Therefore I testify you to this day that I am innocent of the blood of all men. For I did not shrink from declaring to you the whole purpose of God. Be on the guard for yourselves and for all the flock among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to the shepherd of the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. And it goes on with that. But I want to point out several things. There, in the verse 17, it says that Paul sent for the elders. That particular word that's mentioned there is presbyteros. And that's the same Greek word from which we get presbytery from. Or sometimes you hear the denomination, the Presbyterian Church. We get that from that same particular word. It means one who's older. Someone who maybe we would call a senior in life. Not necessarily have to be a senior citizen, but someone who's older than others. It implies somebody with experience in life, especially living as a Christian, someone who has spent time being a Christian. That's what we mean by an elder. It's not the Mormon concept of elders. It's fascinating how they totally twist that word 180 degrees around on its head. It's someone who has had experience and has been there, been at it for a long while. In verse 28, though, when we got down towards the end, there were several other terms also being used. He calls them overseers, or some of your translations say bishop. And it's the Greek word episkopos. And it means a superintendent, a person capable of watching over or directing a congregation, a person who is responsible for the congregation. There's also a verb that's being used in verse 28, pomeneo, the verb means, is translated feeding the flock. It's the verb that in the noun form we would use the word pastor. But it means to tend as a shepherd. It's a person who watches and protects those given to his charge. A person is answerable for the fate of his church. You know, basically, think about it as far as a shepherd. We're talking about the guy who's responsible to make sure the sheep are fed, who's responsible for the sheep, who's answerable if, you know, they get attacked or whatever, or one gets lost or wanders off. That's what we're talking about in that type of term. He's there to make sure the feeding is the idea that his charges are well nourished. And he's seeing to that. Now, all these descriptions, sometimes you wonder, well, why not just one word? And the answer in part is because the Bible is borrowing common words from the language to describe a position of which one word by itself is not adequate to totally cover all the aspects of who a person is. Just like, for instance, we talk about Christians, but we talk about saints, we talk about disciples. We're still talking about the same people, but each one emphasizes a different aspect of what we are as Christians. And the same thing goes with a elder. All these descriptive terms basically refer to an older Christian who has oversight of the spiritual well-being of the congregation. His emphasis and his focus is on the spiritual aspects of the congregation. So often you find that people basically expect the elders are, you know, like a managing board who runs all the finances. Well, the finances had some impact on the spiritual aspect. But the elders are there for the spiritual part. They're there to make sure people stay well fed spiritually. They're there to make sure that people stay within the boundaries of what Christ has laid out spiritually. Those same three words are actually used also in 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5, starting with verse 1, which was part of our scripture reading this morning. 1 Peter 5, starting with verse 1. Therefore I exhort the elders, among you, as your fellow elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ and a partaker also of the glory that is to be revealed, shepherd the flock of God which is among you, exercising oversight, not under compulsion, but voluntarily, according to the will of God, not for sordid gain, but with eagerness, nor as yet lording over it those who are allotted to your charge, but proving yourselves to be examples of the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the unfading crown of glory. Again, the three terms are still there. Elders, shepherds, and oversight. Still the same three ideas, three concepts that are there about this thing. An elder should not be confused with a minister. And among the various denominations, if you look around, they call their main preacher the pastor. That's confusing the terms. They're two different groups. They're two different duties that are being fulfilled. They're still essential roles, but they're different roles. Take a look at Ephesians chapter 4 as an example. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 11. Ephesians 4, verse 11, it says, and he gave some as apostles, and some as prophets, and some as evangelists, and some as pastors and teachers. There are different roles. The preacher, the evangelist, the minister is a different role, a different duty than the elder, bishop, pastor. But you can at times find a minister who is also an elder at the same time, fulfilling two duties with one person. Take a look at 1 Timothy chapter 5. 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 17. It says, the elders who rule well are to be considered worthy of double honor, especially those who work hard at preaching and teaching. So it is possible for the elders to also be a teacher. The elder to also be a preacher. Even though preaching and teaching are two other duties that are to be done inside a congregation as well. Peter illustrates that. Peter served as an apostle. He was also a preacher. And he was also an elder. Those are all different duties being fulfilled by one person. However, every preacher is not an elder. And every elder is not a preacher. As simple as that. Paul, for instance, also filled multiple. He called himself an apostle and a preacher. He's never called an elder, by the way. That's because he wasn't qualified, because he did not have a wife. In 1 Timothy chapter 3 and in verse 2, it says, an overseer must then be above reproach, the husband of one wife. And it goes on with the qualifications, which we're going to look for in a little bit. But take a look at 1 Corinthians chapter 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and in verse 5 it says, do we not have the right to take along a believing wife even as the rest of the apostles and the brothers of the Lord and Cephas? Cephas was married. He was also then had been an elder. Paul said he was not married. Neither was Barnabas. Paul never filled that particular role. Now, what's interesting to note is that the elders in a congregation are always mentioned in a plural sense. There are a couple of times when we talk about, like for instance, the qualifications of an elder. But when we talk about those who are in a congregation, it always refers to them as the elders. The implication is that a congregation is not to have a single elder. In fact, take a look at Acts 14, and you can do this by going through with a concordance and finding all the references to it. But in Acts chapter 14 and in verse 23, when they had appointed elders for them in every city, having prayed with fasting, they commended them to the Lord in whom they had believed. Elders were appointed in every city. Multiple. And we find that all the way through. And when we're looking for elders here, we're not looking for a person. One person cannot do the duty. Having had a sample of it, one person doesn't want to do the duties. It's too much of an overload. You need multiple people for a variety of reasons. But this is the way that God has laid it out. What we're going to do is begin to go through the qualifications. And that will take a little bit of time. I don't expect to get done this morning. I may not even get it all done by this evening. Hopefully, well, I'll be able to finish it off by next Sunday morning, is what my goal is. It depends on how fast I go through it this time. Last time it took me three times, at least my notes say that, to get through all the material. First off, we need it. I need to get two more verses off that one. There's always a plurality. And we have to understand it is an office. Take a look again at 1 Timothy chapter 3. 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 1. It is a trustworthy statement. If any man aspires to the office of an overseer, it is a fine work he desires to do. There is an office. There is a duty that is, and a work that involves being an elder or an overseer. In other words, we're not just talking about, and this has been a fad for a while in some regions, saying that elders are just the older people in the congregation. No, there is a particular office with a set of duties and responsibilities that have to be fulfilled. And people have to be appointed to. One just doesn't, because you're old, become an elder. It doesn't work that way. People are placed into that position in Titus chapter 1 and verse 5. For this reason I left you in Crete, that you may set in order what remains and appoint elders in every city as I directed you. And again goes on with the qualifications. Elders are appointed. They're placed in that position. It just doesn't happen. Because there is a duty and there is a responsibility is a part of that job. Now, as far as the duties go, we've already touched on these, but I'd like to quickly review them before we get into the qualifications themselves, and probably will be doing good to get through the duties this morning. As far as the duties go, in 1 Peter chapter 5, starting with verse 2 and 3, shepherd the flock of God among you, exercising oversight, not under compulsion, but voluntarily according to the will of God, not for sordid gain, but with eagerness, nor yet as lording over it those who are allotted to your charge, but proving it as examples to the flock. What Peter says is, one of the duties as an elder is to watch over the spiritual needs of a congregation. Elders are there to see to it that each Christian is being built up, that each Christian is growing in their faith. They're charged with the duty of making sure that false doctrine is not taught in a congregation, nor is being spread. There are times when you will have people that will secretly sneak in and start spreading false doctrine behind everybody's backs. When that happens, it's the elders' job both to detect it and to do something about it. So one of the things is to watch over and make sure people are safe spiritually. Their method of leadership, as we've been emphasizing for several weeks, is not that of a dictator. It's not that of an authoritarian. They guide the congregation by basically showing how to live a Christian life. They are the example to other people. As we pointed out before, it emphasizes here that it says to shepherd the flock. And if you ever watch a flock of sheep, shepherds do not push them. It doesn't work that way. You start pushing a flock of sheep and they go every which direction. A shepherd instead is somebody that the sheep want to follow. They go first and call to the sheep. And they follow after the shepherd. And this is what God wants with those who lead his congregations. In Acts chapter 15, we touched on this in one lesson. Acts chapter 15, and starting with verse 4, we see the elders involved again. Acts 15, starting with verse 4. So when we arrived at Jerusalem, they were received by the church and the apostles and the elders, and they reported all that God had done with them. But some of the sect of the Pharisees who had believed stood up, saying, "It is necessary to circumcise them and to direct them to observe the law of Moses." The apostles and the elders came together to look into this matter. As we said before, one of the elders' primary jobs is to make sure of the soundness of the doctrine that's being taught by the members of the congregation. They're not the source of the doctrine. They don't make things up. They don't make rules. As I was told by one local preacher in another congregation. That's not what elders are there for. They make sure that members stay within the bounds of the teachings God gave. That there is proper authority and a proper source for all that's being taught. Here in Acts 15, what we had as a problem was that we had members from the Jerusalem church going out to other congregations. They were teaching behind the elders' backs and the apostles' backs. But they were also going out to other congregations and teaching, hey, in Jerusalem, we tell everybody they have to follow the law of Moses. It came back to them. It was discovered they did have such a problem. And it was the elders and the apostles, along with the congregation, who sat down to figure out what was the actual truth and to enforce it. In fact, take a look at Titus. Titus chapter 1. And starting with verse 9. Towards the end of the qualifications that are in Titus, talking about the elders, it says, "Holding fast the faithful word, which is in accordance with the teaching, so that he will be able to both exhort in sound doctrine and to refute those who contradict. For there are many rebellious men, empty talkers and deceivers, especially those of the circumcision, who must be silenced because they are upsetting whole families, teaching things which they should not teach, for the sake of sordid gain." Here then again is the responsibility of elders. This is one of the reasons for the qualifications. They have to enforce sound doctrine by their knowledge of the scriptures and have their ability to use God's word to contradict the false teachers, to show what the truth is. These are the type of men that are going to help keep the congregation sound in his doctrine. Going back to Acts chapter 20, and note again in verse 28, because they have to guide other people, they have to be especially careful about their own lives. Acts 20 and verse 28, It says, be on guard for yourselves and for all the flock among which the Holy Spirit made you overseers, the shepherd, the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. And here is why one of the reasons why we have to have multiple elders. If it's just one person, it's very easy to stray off and think, well, I'm right. Elders are to watch out for themselves as well as the flock to make sure that they're remaining faithful to the Word of God. And they have to be especially watchful over their own lives because, like I said, it's easy to start thinking, I'm right, instead of looking at what is right. In Titus chapter 1, there's another aspect of an eldership as far as their duties go. Titus chapter 1 verse 7 says, for the overseer must be above reproach as God's steward. Here's another way that we can look at the task that's before the elders. They don't own the church. It is not their church. They are merely stewards. A steward is a manager of somebody's household affairs. They don't own the household. They don't own the property that they're managing. They just manage it on behalf of someone else. Elders are managing on behalf of the Lord, the congregation, in that sense. They're not dictators. They're not the source of saying what is to be done. Rather, God tells them what needs to be done through his word, and they make sure that it's done, that it's accomplished. The church belongs to God. Again, take a look at 1 Peter chapter 5. I know we're jumping back and forth to get these various points out. But 1 Peter chapter 5, look at verse 3. It says, nor yet as lording over those allotted to your charge. That's the idea of stewardship. The elders are given responsibility to watch out for the flock. They're answerable to God, just like a steward is answerable to the owner of the house. The shepherds, the elders, are then answerable to the chief shepherd about how well they managed his people. In 1 Timothy chapter 3, 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 5. It says, but if a man does not know how to manage his own household, how will he take care of the church of God? And there again is that idea of stewardship. And in Hebrews chapter 13 and in verse 17, it says, obey your leaders and submit to them, for they keep watch over your souls as those who will give an account. Again, there's that same idea. They will answer for what happens. It's a big responsibility. That's why not everyone wants to be an elder. It's why in a lot of businesses, not everybody wants to be a manager. Sometimes it feels nicer just to do your work and not feel like you're responsible for what other people do. One other aspect of it, being elders, is they represent the congregation. Going back to Acts, this time Acts 11. Acts 11 and verse 13. Oh, 30, sorry. Acts 11 verse 30. It says, and they did this, sending it in charge of Barnabas and Saul to the elders. When a message was to be sent to the church, it was delivered to the elders because they represent the church. The elders then made sure the church heard of the message. But that's what they did as their job. In this case, they received the gift sent, Saul to the distribution of the needy, because they represented the group as a whole. Sometimes when you're dealing with a large group, it's easier to at least talk to one person or a few people who are in charge. A gift was being sent, a large amount of money. Who knows where that money needs to be distributed best? Well, the elders, because they're watching out for the flock. So it's given to the elders. They represent the group as a whole. Along with that, in James chapter 5, and in verse 14, James chapter 5, and in verse 14, it says, "Is anyone among you sick? He must call for the elders of the church, and they are to pray over him, anointing with oil in the name of the Lord." The elders are those who people call on to comfort when there are even physical problems. They're the ones people turn to when there is a need, and they need help. The elders may not be able to do all the work, but they are able to find the answers for them. They make sure the needs are met. They're the ones that come to pray, the ones that bring comfort. It's part of their duty. We mentioned in 1 Peter chapter 5, in verse 3, that they're examples to the members. They're examples to the flock. They lead by the way they live their lives. Over in Hebrews chapter 13, this time verse 7, Hebrews 13, verse 7, says, "Remember those who led you, who spoke the word of God to you, and consider the result of their conduct. Imitate their faith." You don't want somebody who's not real strong in the faith, who is kind of wishy-washy as far as the faith. You want somebody that people are willing to follow, who say, this is what Christians ought to be. They may not be perfect in all aspects, but these are people that you say, this is the type of person, when I grow up, I want to be like. All these duties that each and every Christian ought to have, if you think about it. There's not one Christian here who's not responsible to make sure that their fellow members get to heaven. We all should be watching out for each other. When one of us is sick, there's not one of us who doesn't go and visit and pray with them. We all should be seeing to the needs of each other and making sure that we're cared for. We all should look at it as that we are stewards of God's. Elders are basically what every Christian ought to be. The big difference is the elder is responsible for seeing to it that it happens. They're answerable to God for their actions, or inactions as the case may be. Too often when the congregation lacks elders, they sometimes will look at the preacher and expect the preacher to take up the slack. There are a lot of overlaps in some of the duties between an elder and a preacher, but they're not complete. And while preachers should do those things, because every Christian should do those things, it's still the responsibility of the elders. The preacher is not a stopgap elder. You know, some of the responsibility overlaps, such as the teaching and upholding the sound doctrine. Those are both groups have the same duties. But it's, like I said, we don't use the preacher as a fill-in in that. Now, what we will start with is that, you know, with such responsibilities and being a representative of the Lord's church, you would expect the elders to be chosen to meet some very high standards, because they are representing what Christians ought to be. And so we'll have to get into that. I've used up my time so far. But we will begin this evening starting to look at those qualifications. And we'll go through it word by word so that you understand it very well, what we're talking about as far as the qualifications for an elder. But in the meantime, I know this wasn't a lesson that was designed to encourage someone to become a child of God, but we like to leave that opportunity always open. We're right now looking at selecting elders here, so we are focused on that particular aspect. But right now, let's turn our minds back to why we're here in the first place. We're here to serve Christ. We're here to do the will of God. And if there's others who wish to join us in serving Christ, there's no better time than right now to put on Christ and become a child of God. If there's any here who are children of God, we'd like the prayers of your brethren on your behalf. Why don't you come forward as we stand and sing the song